This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello everybody and welcome along to this week's edition of the Sky Blues Extra podcast with myself, Dean Atkinson. Alongside me, the man, the myth, the legend, Grizzo. Andrew, how's it going, mate?
All right, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, really, really good. I was a little bit disappointed on Friday. I won't lie, but, you know, I've kind of got over it now. And yeah, looking forward to this week now. I think it's going to be a pivotal week in the season for us. Two big games.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%.
Friday, your thoughts on Friday?
Yeah, it was a bit, weren't the best of games, let's be honest with you, Dino, was it? Weren't the best of watches. I think had a lot to do with the formation change we did. You know, a few of the players he's brought in as well didn't quite click. Had a special moment in the game, which we'll talk about, obviously, in due course. But generally, it was a bit of a disappointing encounter. But, you know, we're still in the hat. We've got a fantastic tie, potentially, coming up at home.
The opportunity now is massive, isn't it?
And to a quarterfinal, yes.
Yeah, and to think, like, it could have been so, so much sweeter sitting here going, my God, we've got a home tie against non-league opposition to get into the quarterfinals. I know we've got someone in the way to before that now, but it's just like it's tantalising. It's set up perfectly.
Yeah, for is it a 0-0 to Sheffield Wednesday?
yeah.
That would be cop all over, wouldn't it?
It would, but, yeah.
But no, on a serious note, it's set up beautifully for us. You know, I can't remember. Obviously, I can remember when we were last in a quarterfinal in '98, but, you know, and we've got a few ghosts to put away for that one because that's a tie that we should have won as well. So,
was you at that game?
No, I was at the home one, the first leg when we drew 1-1. But we lost at Bramall Lane, didn't we?
I remember exactly where I was for the replay. I was in the old Tom Mann Social Club in Cov, and my dad took me down there. I think we were playing pool and we were listening to it on the radio that they had on behind the bar. And I just remember, like, just a crowd of people just surrounding this radio for the Pens. Heartbreaking, wasn't it? Really?
It was, because honestly, the way we were playing that season, everyone thought that if we got past them, we were going to win.
Good chance.
So there you go. But we can put that all to rest.
Exactly.
Big Sheffield Wednesday. And beat Maidstone.
Just got to beat Sheffield Wednesday first. And then let's take care of Maidstone after that. But on to tonight's episode, pretty action-packed. We've got, obviously, a look back at the Sheffield Wednesday game on Friday night. We'll look at the feature, new feature tonight, Andy.
Yeah,
looking forward to that?
Was it?
There'll be a new feature klaxon. Maybe we'll have a jingle at some point, but you know, we'll see how it goes this week. We might can it, but it doesn't go very well.
Yeah.
We also put our poll on Saturday, so we'll discuss the findings from that as well, and of course, we'll look ahead to Tuesday night game at against Bristol at the CBS. But first, let's look at the Sheffield Wednesday game. 6 changes to the team, change the system as well. What were your thoughts on that? To be honest, when I looked at it, I thought we're playing a 4 at the back. But then in that first minute, it was so obvious to revert back to that 5, and I don't quite get it.
No, I don't. Like you said, when I saw the team, I thought it was going to be 4, like yourself. But then obviously when they lined up with Eccles playing right wing back, yeah, then we knew there was going to be a 5 at the back, and I'm not a fan of that.
No, yeah. I think we've gone past that now. With the people we have in the team, I don't think it works for what we've got.
Nah.
You saw that again when Van Ivac come on the pitch in the second half. He really struggled to sort of understand where he needed to be at all times.
Yeah, Bidwell, Milan, there's so much better players in about 4, aren't they? They're so much more comfortable, shall we say, in about 4. And also, we were almost playing a 5 at the back just to shoehorn fads in, weren't we, at the time? So, obviously, like you just said, I think we're past that situation now. I think the back 4 has got to stay. I didn't really think it was a great idea going back to a back 5. And I think it proved that way because we looked a bit disjointed, didn't we, all game, to be fair.
Maybe you just did it just to cement the thought that 4 at the back is the future and that you didn't ever want to go back to... To 5.
I hope so, but Robbins always keeps us on our toes, doesn't he? So
he does.
Yeah.
Both sides did have a lot of changes to the team, and it actually felt like that, didn't it? It felt like 2 teams, very cagey, no real flow to it, no real link between any players on the pitch from both sides, really. I thought it was really, really drab affair in that first half.
Yeah, very bitty. And I think that, like you just said, it mainly down to the change in the change of system for us. For them, obviously, they made a few changes as well. So it almost looked like a game where people haven't been playing together, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can only see, you know, in the FA Cup this weekend, you know, Ipswich make 10 changes and they're out. You know, I don't think you can make a couple, but not as many as what we made and what Ipswich made at the weekend. You struggle. And I think I think if Robbins had his time again, I don't think he'd make so many changes.
No, it felt like a bit of a carbon copy to the league game as well, didn't it? In the way that sort of, there was a little bit of back and throw and there was no real quality on show until there was a little bit of magic to break the deadlock. Victor Torp, obviously, first start debut for the Sky Blues. Just an unbelievable strike of the ball. I know the kid in goal was, you know, 14 or whatever. There's a few "well done, he's 14" memes being thrown around after the goal went in. But even so, like, the strike is just so pure. The way he sort of manoeuvres his body in position to strike it that pure as well, really, really impressive.
Yeah, it was. I don't care who the keeper is, they're not saving them.
The reverse angle is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, just seeing how it sort of swerves. You know, his body shape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pure.
That means... You know when someone hits the ball like that and they've got a shape of body like that, you mean he's got that in his locker.
Left foot planted directly just in front of the ball. It's just, it's like Tekkers, isn't it? That is technique.
Yeah, proper. Yeah, it is proper Tekkers technique. It's a fantastic display of quality by the Dane. And I'm very impressed what we're going to see from him. You know, considering, you know, how long has he been in the country? Not that long, has it?
So, and he hasn't played since, I think, the end of November, early December. So 6 weeks without football. And
he comes on and does that.
Yeah, it's impressive. I thought he actually looked really, really impressive during the game. He got absolutely nailed in the first minute. And I was like, But that was probably a bit of a wake-up call for him. And then from there, I think he showed a lot of composure, intelligent runs as well, beyond the midfield. I thought it was a very, very tidy debut on a pitch, which he probably isn't used to as well.
No, I think it's telling though, Dino, that he's been in the country with us not long and Robbins has already thrown him in. He's not thought to himself, oh, we best give him and introduce him very, you know, a few, 10 minutes, 15 minutes off the bench. He's put him straight in, so he must see him in training and think he's ready. So that's brilliant signs going forward, isn't it?
Would you expect him to start?
No.
Same for me, yeah.
Yeah, I expected him to come off the bench and make an impact, maybe after 60 minutes. I was expecting that. Or with Robbins after 89.
He'd probably just chuck him in for the most important game on Tuesday night instead of Sheaf or something like that. But he might have to now, depending on how Sheaf is.
Maybe. But I wasn't expecting him to start. So, like I said, he must be ready. And well, he's shown he is ready, hasn't he? Big time.
Yeah, and there was a lot of good linking play between him and the midfield, I thought. I thought there was a real good understanding between him and Sheaf for one, which is exciting because if he is going to play in that sort of advanced midfield role, that's going to happen a lot. And I also saw that Sheaf was sitting back a little bit more when Torp was moving forward and vice versa. Yeah. So there seems to be that kind of understanding there already, which you know is great for us because that's going to be key. You know, we know what the Championship is like. There's a lot of counter-attacking teams. And if they've got the understanding that one needs to sit when one goes forward, then you know that's obviously good for us going forward.
Yeah, fantastic. And it alludes to my point earlier about them. Robin's obviously seen that in training and he's seen that he's ready to start games. So he must be getting that understanding with Sheaf in training already. So yeah, fantastic that they're already, you know, drumming up an understanding on the pitch, a bit of chemistry and yeah, fantastic. And normally, you know, you'd expect them to take a while to do that, but to get that up and running already is very impressive. Very impressive.
We talked about something good. Let's talk about something bad. Godden's chance. It was golden in that first half. This was before we went 1-0 up as well. Great work in sort of dispossessing at the top end of the pitch. And he's got to get it on target. I don't care if the ball bobbles ahead of him or whatever. To be honest, I think it actually looked perfect for him. But just balloons it. There's no composure there at all.
Unlike him, though, isn't it?
It is, you know,
He's a good finisher. I think at the moment he's going through a spell of... He has spells like this, Godden does. He has spells that he's a player that goes through purple patches, you know, and at the moment he's not in one of those patches. And he'll come out the other end and he'll probably get back scoring, but... At the moment, he's struggling a little bit with his composure in front of goal and maybe a little bit of lack of confidence. I think his overall contribution to the team's been good, but I think he's getting a bit frustrated. He's not getting on the score sheet.
What kind of contribution would you say he's been having then in that case?
I thought against Leicester, I thought he worked his socks off. I thought he did a really, really good job up there on his own. He links the play quite well. But, you know, you could say if Ellis Sims is given a chance up front, he could do that as well. But I think he's done not a bad job, but without scoring at the moment for Godders. But for me, if you're playing centre forward in a 4-3-3, you're judged on goals.
Yeah, definitely. And if I'm going to be honest, I think we've been carrying centre forward the last 6 or 7 games, both Sims and Godden. I think that's what it feels like to me. I don't think they've contributed.
Even though we've been winning games
enough.
And
yeah, I mean it's fine. We've got enough quality to win those games with 10 players. That's what it feels, or 10 and a half players, shall we say. I'll give them half a due. But that's what it's felt like to me. I don't think like they've really contributed massively to those. And like you say, as a centre forward, you've got to score goals. I know he scored 2 against Oxford, but that was a down and dead Oxford team at that point. But
strange celebration after Oxford as well.
Yeah, this is what I said in the group chat yesterday. Like you asked about Sims, and I said I wouldn't write him off. Like the only time he got a run in the team, he was taken out of it randomly because sounded like Godden had started crying to Matt Robbins. That's what it felt like in the press. And when he was just getting a sort of a foothold on how things were working, he was taken out.
I remember
and
that.
And then obviously we see this celebration from Godden. And I'm just like, I'm not sure what his deal is there.
No, I think you've got to look at Haji Wright as well. Like he at one stage kept on getting in and out of the side and he was struggling. But because he had a run of games, look at him now, before obviously his injury, he was flying, scoring goals. And I think with Sims, I think we spent that amount of money on him. You know, I think he deserves at least from now 5 or 6 games to really to get settled into that centre forward position. For me, I think our best front three at the moment is Wright when he's fit on the left, Tats on the right, and Sims
through the middle.
But let's play them three for at least four or five injuries.
Yeah,
presented, obviously.
100%.
Just four or five games, just play them. Just keep playing that so they can build an understanding. Because you're right with that, with Sims. He was just starting to knit together, wasn't he? And then he just got hoiked out of the team. And Wright, it happened with Wright as well at the start of the season. He was starting to play well. And then he got hoiked out of the team. It's shown with Wright, when he had a run of games,
consistency.
He started getting there. He started scoring goals. You know, he started contributing. And I think Sims is the same. I put it on the chat, didn't I? I said, Sims has played, he's had 15 starts. He's got 3 goals. And I said, just generally to the lads, do you think there's a player in there? I think there is, personally.
I'm with you as well.
And I think he's got ability. I think sometimes he needs to get more angrier as a centre forward. And I think he needs to be more nastier. But I think he's got the raw attributes to be a very good centre forward at this level. But for me, and I think you think the same, he just needs a run of games.
He's played in 4 different positions in 4 different systems this season.
And that doesn't help, does it?
That is just like, it's so hard. As a fan, it's hard to understand what's going on. But imagine playing in that. It's probably even harder because your instructions are so different in all 4 positions, in all 4 different systems as well. I mean, like I said, I think he showed really good signs as that lone man. But then when he was dropped, and okay, granted, he didn't score during that period, but he was doing a lot more. And by not playing consistently, that's where the lack of confidence comes from. And then you see that chance he has at the start of the second half.
Yeah.
He has to do better, but he doesn't take the ball forward. He takes the ball sideways. And that is confidence. You're not confident enough to go take the ball on and take the chance on. And you've seen it with Godden in the first half as well. There's the same sort of through ball to him and he takes the ball sideways instead of at goal with clear opportunities. Then they dawdle on the ball. It's just very frustrating. And it honestly comes down to confidence. And where do you get confidence? By playing games. And how do you play games? By giving the opportunity by the manager consistently. And that's where I think our downfall is at the moment at the top end of the pitch.
Case study, Hadji Wright.
Hadji Wright, yeah.
Plays on the left side of the forward for 5 or so his games, starts scoring goals.
Yeah, and it starts looking much, much better. And contributes.
Exactly.
To the whole team. Because, I mean, you look at him tracking back.
Yeah, never did that at the start.
No, that's come from confidence because he feels like he's...
And learning the position as well.
Yeah, he's an integral part of the team, so I'm going to work harder now for the team.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get a little bit part here and there, you don't feel like you are part of the team.
Something's got to give with this Godden situation. Something's got to give. Because Robbins is either going to make a decision, 2-3 things. He's either going to make it buy someone, keep with Godden if he wants him. If he thinks he's his number one striker, play him. Or give Sims a go. They're your 3 options, in my opinion. Something's got to give.
Yeah. We'll see what happens on Tuesday night. As we don't play a number 9, we play a false 9 or something like that. Who knows what will happen.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, the corners. They were very inventive, weren't they? We put 2 balls in the box, but then after that we started like doing short corners, little outside-the-box things. I actually really liked that. Three of them brought opportunities.
Yeah, a bit of variation is always good. You don't have to lump it in the box all the time. Keep it short, drill it to the back. You know, even do a Scholesy, drill it to the edge of the area for someone to volley in. A bit of variation.
It doesn't feel like we score enough from those opportunities, though.
We never score from corners very often, do we?
Where's the... I'm trying to find the set piece.
What's the stat for that?
Stats. I should have actually just been a bit more organised here, really, and found out. I'll find out in a second. Whilst you're talking, I'll find out. What are we going to move on to next? Let's talk about that goal then, shall we? Being a goalkeeper yourself in a past life.
Yeah.
Lots of question marks over Wilson with this one. For me, he makes a feeble attempt at the ball.
He doesn't dive full length, does he?
So, for you, how hard is it to get at that ball when it's coming through a few bodies, not many, but not really. What's the word I'm looking for here? It's very easy to see what the Sheffield Wednesday player is about to do.
But he
doesn't pick it up.
No, he doesn't. And people say, oh, he's unsighted. But there was only a couple of bodies in front of him. It was just a lame attempt for the ball. He got wrong-footed. He thought he was going to go the other way. But then he did realise he was going to go that way and then just made a feeble attempt to try and get it. It's like, okay, you thought he was going to go the other way. That's fine. But then you quickly realised he wasn't. But then you didn't dive full length. If you dive full length and you can't get it, fair enough. But don't just half-heartedly just go on your knee. That's just embarrassing. You've got to try. You've got to go full length. If you get beaten, if you go full length, then fair play. I don't like keepers that go on the knee and think, oh, I've got wrong-footed. That's it. No. Not for me. You were going to go the right. You went the wrong way. You were going to go the right way. You made it for the error. But then you kind of like half-arse went on your knee. Go full length. Get beaten full length, fair play.
I've noticed it a couple of times. He does this sort of like halfway to go for a save.
I think not playing games don't help you, Dean, does it? It's difficult. No,
it's different for goalkeepers,
it's difficult to get a rhythm. And it is difficult when you're just throwing in the odd cup game. But that's his role at the moment. You know, at the end of the day, Collins has done absolutely fantastic. So his role is to come in for those kind of games, but it's not easy.
I'm not convinced by either. I'm really not.
No, not
at all. Okay. No. I think Collins, has done enough to be number one at the moment, but still for me, too much parrying, too much pushing the ball away. I don't like it. He never seems to be able to catch it. I've said it before. I just get a little bit worried with him. He's made some outstanding saves. I'll admit that, of course, and he's done really, really well with his distribution. But yeah. I'm still a little bit worried.
The jury's out a little bit.
Definitely for me. I have a stat for you. Set piece. Here we go.
Yes,
set pieces. We're actually fifth in the division for the most goals. It's joint fifth. Nine set piece goals.
Okay.
Cardiff the most with 16 and Queen's Park with the Rangers the lowest with
that's
three.
Not bad, no. I thought it'd be like two.
Yeah, last year we were the worst in the league.
Yeah. Okay, so we have improved then. Okay.
We had three last year in total. Wow. But what they're classing as set pieces though, corners, free kicks.
Both in
just those?
Yeah, I think so.
We have many penalties. Penalties classed as a...
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't call so.
I hope not. We've missed a few of those. I think we missed like three of the last five or something like that.
Yeah, let's hope Maidstone don't go to auction.
Oh God, now you've put the dampener on it, that's for sure. We need to get, maybe we'll have a Sheffield Wednesday penalty shootout beforehand to warm us up. Who knows? Talking of missing chances, Jamie Allen has that golden opportunity, doesn't he, at the end. Yeah. And look at the terrific work done by Sims here as well. Lays the ball off to Allen, and that's he's it. Got the perfect opportunity straight at the goalie. So I think it's really poor.
Yeah, it's weak. Yeah, great work by Sims there. Did a great job holding play up and playing him in. And never hit the keeper. If you hit it wide, fair enough. But don't just hit it straight at the keeper. Corners. Yeah. I always tell my lad, corners.
Yeah, don't thrash it. Don't thrash at the ball. Just place it.
Corners.
That's what he did there. He just tried to smash it down his throat.
Yeah. And the 14-year-old just picked it up.
Yeah. It's just so annoying because you think that ends the game. We walk out 2-1. We're sitting here. Well, not to say we're not in a happy mood, but we're sitting here with a victory under our belts, moving on. We know we're playing Maidstone on a Wednesday night. It will be probably in front of the cameras now, but still now we've made it harder for ourselves because that's another game in an action-packed February already that we didn't need.
No, and that's why I'm a bit deflated from it all, because you didn't need the replay, did we? Not with the amount of games we've got coming up. It was highly annoying, because I thought when we went 1-0 up, I thought we'd see the game out, to be honest.
Yeah, very frustrating. Let's get a man of the match from you then. Don't think there's much else to talk about with this one.
Torpedo.
Joe, I'm going to give a shout out to as well. I thought Josh Eccles played really well.
Yeah, he's been playing well for ages.
Latabodier played in four different positions in this game, and
he's Mr. versatile. He loves it,
and he played really, really well as well. So kudos to both of those as well.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Right, it's what you've all been waiting for. Time for a new feature on the Sky Blues Extra podcast. A new segment, shall we say. Andy, how excited are you for this?
Massively. Buzzing, since I heard about it on Friday. It's right. Pretty much the weekend.
Yeah, I bet it has. I had to explain it to him, just for the listeners, I had to explain to him what it was before we started recording.
100%.
So, the feature, we're calling Cov In Tree or Cov Out Tree. It's a little fun exercise in which we give our little ins and outs for the week. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be Coventry related. I think we're going to have it Coventry related for this week, so it makes sense, but going forward it could be anything. So Andy, you can kick off this proverbial game of poker. What are you all in on this week, hence Cov In Tree?
I am Cov In Tree this week. How the team, the support base, the management team have gathered around Casey Palmer this week. I think I'm big time in for it for that, because, you know, the way we've supported him through this, looked after him, I think one, he appreciates that, and two, I just think it's been brilliant, and the way we've gathered and supported him has been absolutely fantastic.
And I think it's the fans as well have rallied behind that. That makes it even better. It feels like we've all come together over this, and, you know, I know we had some issues the other week at the Leicester game with the post and stuff, but I mean, that was, you know, the blanket across the board that none of us accepted that as fans. But again, we've all sort of rallied together around this issue, which is continuing. It's bonkers what happened on Friday night again.
Yeah, it was.
The knee, I don't want to get into it too much. It's just pathetic. And I understand, with the booing situation as well, that's pathetic, and Robin's obviously called it out. I don't disagree with them booing for Casey Palmer if they think he's a prick, but because of what's happened over the last week, that's where I disagree with their reasoning might be in called into question on why they're booing. I just don't get the continuation from Sheffield Wednesday, to be honest, and I think it's pretty bad on their part. But from us, I think it's been superbly handled, and I think you're right to have that as you're in for this week.
Bad one to start.
It's not. That's nice. I like that. My in.
Yeah.
So I read the forum notes last week or this week, and I was just really infused by the sort of the comments in there by Doug King. It feels like we're now being ran like a proper business, which excites me. I love how we're seemingly going about things now after the dreaded, let's say, the last 15 years under whatever stewardship we've had. We've turned a massive corner in that regard. just to see the change that are being made. So he talked about obviously Wrighton with the pitches being done. Now there's redevelopment on the actual building structures there. That's happening. New offices at the arena. Means a proper area for like day-to-day running of the club. We've got that new performance director, Claire Marie Roberts, joining us as well. New COO in the form of John Taylor, which is exciting because I think he is well regarded in the footballing world. And then you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to give a big up to the commercial team for the first time ever, because it seemingly it feels like we're moving in the right direction there too. So the half season ticket offer, that's enticing. I think it works out something like £12 a game at some point for certain people, which is amazing. You're going to see a playoff push basically for £12 a game for the rest of the season. That's ridiculous. And then the club shop as well. You look at the last few weeks, the retro wear, the winter wear, they've got that bang on. You look at the dross we had over the last sort of 6 months with the Sudan Brown t-shirts, which I think you've got a couple of them, Andy. Or maybe you got them for Christmas, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
But yeah, those yeah. It's all those little things are all really, really adding up. And I think it makes me excited as a fan that, you know, our owner has the best interest for us at heart, be it from a playing point of view, be it from a staffing point of view, be it from a fan point of view in giving us good opportunities to help in regards to, you know, paying towards stuff with season tickets, with merchandise. So, yeah, that's my in for the week. Just excites me. Yeah. Right, Coventry, what are you out on this week?
The behaviour, my outry is the behaviour of Sheffield Wednesday fans. I think, you know, enough was with the league game. I thought that was awful. And then to back it up. And don't get me wrong, it's not all Sheffield Wednesday fans. It's not. Because obviously you saw that video, they went round and the little lad that gave, you know, obviously Casey. You know,
that was a beautiful touch, little hamper, wasn't it?
Yeah, little hamper, and that was a lovely moment and beautifully captured by Sheffield Wednesday YouTube team. That was fantastic. But I think a lot of their fans need a strong, hard look at themselves.
You can't even talk about the minority anymore, because it's seemingly it's going outside of that range now.
Is, you know, the booing, you know, and it's like Robin said, it's just, what is wrong with people these days? Just what is up? They just need to get a life. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. You know, what world are we living in?
One that's seemingly heading for World War III as well.
I think so, yeah.
The promotion push might be put on hold.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We'll have to play it somewhere else. But no, that's my out, mate. I'm fed up with it. You know, we've had it since Cyril Regis. It's time for it to stop.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, with you on that one.
People need to be, in my opinion, people need to be, if they're found out doing this kind of thing, they need to be more harshly punished than they are at the minute. Because if they're more harshly punished, they'll think twice of doing it again.
Yeah, you need a deterrent there, don't you?
You do, and there isn't a deterrent there at the minute.
No,
that's the problem.
No, and that's seemingly the way for a lot of things in this country, never mind just
100%.
Racism. My out.
Yeah.
And I think this man is on the way out, but I'm bored of this. The Callum O'Hare contract talk. I'm just done, mate. Like, it's clear to see how it's panning out. It was pretty clear in December. But yet the noise on socials and stuff about his future is just seemingly going on and on and on. And a lot of people just sort of living in hope, and I'm bored of it. I'm absolutely bored of it. People just need to realise and wake up and smell the coffee that unless we get promoted, he's not going to be with us next season. And it is what it is. We move on. We've moved on in the past and we'll do it again.
I'd love to know where he thinks he's going.
Where he thinks he's going?
Yeah. Because I don't think, you know, I think Callum O'Hare's a fantastic footballer. But is he Premier League level?
it's hard. I think it's hard to say without him actually being in there and showing and showcasing, right? So,
but
would you, way...
regarding Gus Hamer, let's look at that situation. Do you think he's enjoying his situation at the moment?
Well, seemingly, if he's on the pitch with the lights on a Thursday night, taking pictures at the CVS to sign for us, maybe he doesn't enjoy it there.
Not really. So maybe Cal, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to get into this conversation because we don't. You're bored of it, and I'm bored of it. But I'm just saying.
I get you. Yeah.
I think O'Hare needs to think. If I was him, look, I don't know what offer we've given him. I've heard rumours that it's shit. I've heard rumours it's big. I don't know. At the end of the day, if he's been offered a decent deal with Coventry, if he's going to be our highest paid player, he should snap that.
I don't think his offer's going to be anywhere near that.
No.
Personally.
You think it's a poor offer?
I don't think it's a poor offer. I think it's a very, very good offer. Okay. It's not going to be one that takes him towards the highest earners. I think it's going to be around the 14 to 18 mark.
Okay.
And obviously performance-related bonuses, etc., which is an incredibly generous offer for a man who is still returning from an ACL injury.
Yeah.
You know, they are hard to get over, and I know he's showing signs and he's performed really well in this period, but let's just see sort of to the end of the year and how he reacts to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get into the Premier League with him, then happy days, he will sign here.
Yeah.
That's inevitable. But otherwise, he won't be with us next year because.
No, I get that. That's
because
fine.
He'll want to go to the Premier League.
One of the three
teams that are going up will take a chance on someone like him. They will have seen him perform this season and will take a chance at $25,000 a year week.
Leicester, or
Southampton, they've seen him perform, and they'll take a chance at $25,000 a week because it's. To them, when they're in the Premier League, 25k a week is absolutely nothing. But to us, in the
Championship...
I just
see it happening the same as Hamer, though, mate, next season.
Of course.
If he goes to Southampton or Leicester, what will happen is he'll play a few games, then he'll be benched, and then carved next season. Say if we don't go up, we'll be up and around the playoff area, and he'll be playing the odd game in the Premier League on double your money. But it depends what you want, isn't it? If he wants to double his money and play less games, fair enough. But that's why
when he talks about like, oh, I love the fans, I love the club and stuff. Horseshit, because if you did, you would have signed already, mate, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, of course it is. I don't buy it, and you don't either.
No, 100%. And he's part of the Wasserman agency, which I've had a lot of dealings with in the golfing world.
Not pleasant.
Yeah, not great to work with.
Cool.
There we go. That's this week's Coventry cover. I think we should get some kind of jingle.
Yeah, we need a jingle. Oh, we'll get Dave Moore on that. No, just getting the jingle going and then we'll get Ross to do the voice.
Ross to do it properly.
Yes.
Add a bit of music, a bit of a beat at the background.
Yeah, definitely.
It only has to be 2 seconds.
That's a decent feature.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah,
I'll take kudos for that.
We'll ask the listeners on a poll. I'll put the poll out.
Talking of polls, what a segue.
There we go.
The Sky Blues Extra Poll this week. What position would you like to see strengthen in the final few days of the transfer window? 3% went for goalkeeper. Yeah. 1% went for defenders. And with that, I think we're very, very solid at the back. 24% went for midfielders. But the overwhelming... I was just trying to make sure these... percentages add up to 100. They do. that would have made me look a bit silly. But yeah, the overwhelming majority, 72%, went for striker.
Mm.
You with them on that?
It depends, doesn't it? Because if Sim starts playing regularly and starts scoring, then no. But it's a difficult one, isn't it?
But is that enough? To maintain
it depends on. What I would like is I'd like to bring us someone in. What I think Robbins will do, no.
Do you not think anyone will come in?
No, not in the striker positions, no. He might bring a winger.
At all, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen.
He might bring someone on the wing,
I think there'll be a lone player on the wing. I don't think there'll be a striker.
But there won't be a striker. Yeah. He loves God.
Yeah.
Loves it.
Yeah.
No way.
I think he'll try and sort of just maintain what he's got, really, and reassess in the summer. Because if we do go up, obviously that'd be fantastic, and then things have got to change dramatically next year, of course. But even if we don't go up, I would say that's an area that of concern, but of like importance moving forward. Winger, loan? Are you thinking a loan?
Yeah, I'm thinking a loan. Premier League club, maybe something like that.
Jack Clark is going to Lazio for 12 million. Fancy a bit of that?
Is he?
I know. We have inquired. I think we were absolutely shut down.
All right.
Yeah. But we did inquire.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I think that tells us we're in the market there.
Yeah, I don't think we need depth there. You know, I think, you know, because like, well, it showed on Friday, didn't it? Tats didn't play.
Struggled on the right.
Had to change the old formation.
Listen, Palmer played really well in those two games, sort of in that
didn't
that
play
wide,
well
but
Leicester, though, did he?
No, he tried too hard, but I think a lot of people at the top end of the pitch tried too hard that game.
Yeah.
Until we obviously went down to playing against 10 men. Then I think it allowed us to be a bit more free. But who did we play after Leicester?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah,
he did all right.
He did play well. Right. He was the best player on the pitch for about 65 minutes. Then he started winding everybody up, and I think that went to his head a little bit, but... Yeah, I would like someone who can play on either wing because I think that would be... Yeah, even if they're predominantly a right winger, they could play on the left as well.
Yeah.
Cut inside. There's
means
an option
you don't
there.
Have to go back to the dreaded five at the back.
No, don't even mention it. Tavares is there.
There we go. There's another forward player. Can he play on the wing, Dean, do you think?
I think he can play on as part of a three. Might be more of a narrower three.
Yeah.
But I think he could play there.
Got pace to burn, hasn't he?
He has got pace, yeah. And he's good for a cutback, isn't he, against that? Was it Preston when he cut back in top bins?
That was beautiful, yeah. Because they haven't sent him on loan, have they? Which is
interesting. No, not yet. Obviously, that was basically Robbins came out of it and said he would look for a loan for him. But maybe he's just kind of reassessing his options at the top end of the pitch over the last few weeks. And
maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Option. An option. Yeah. Maybe an option ahead of the Bristol game. Another unbelievable segue. A quick chat ahead of Tuesday game against Bristol. Quick turnaround, Andy. Back into league action.
Yeah.
For me, the most important thing, the bread and butter. Thoughts ahead of this one? Would you sort of look to go back to winning ways with a tried and tested formula that we have in the squad?
Yeah, that's not even a question. Definitely back to a full. Get Tats back in the team and get rolling.
Yeah, now the Tats thing is interesting because where is he?
Don't know, mate.
Oggy said he thinks he's in Japan.
Oggy said
he thinks he's in Japan. Oh, that's what Oggy said.
What's fucking Oggy know?
Well, he bought his ticket for him. He dropped him off at the airport.
Took him in the brown taxi. Okay, that's weird. Why is he there? Seeing family?
It's interesting because Robin said he needed a break, and obviously he's probably been away from family and stuff, so...
Okay. All right, maybe, I don't know. He's got to be back. It's a huge game.
It is a Tuesday huge game. Night. Massive game. There's a chance to pull away from Bristol in the league as well, isn't it?
100%. Well, they're 13 for the minute, aren't they? But they're only, 6 points ahead? Well, we're six points ahead of them. So it could make it nine. So we'd really put daylight in between us. So, wherever he is at this present minute.
Game back.
He needs to be back.
We need to put a missing persons report out.
Get Oggy
to
pick him up.
There's Oggy. Get Oggy on the blower. See where he is. What if he's got him on Find My Friends or something like that? Maybe that's how he knows.
Hide my iPhone.
Find My Tats a Hero. There's an app for you. App fans, right? Bristol City, one win in the league since Boxing Day. That was on Boxing Day away at Watford.
Mm-hmm.
and one win against West Ham, obviously, in the cup replay a couple of weeks ago. So not the greatest form coming into this, but, you know, a notoriously difficult side. I feel like we've always found it difficult to beat Bristol.
Mm.
They're a weird side, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They haven't got Pearson's not the manager now, is he?
He's no.
Gone. Yeah, they are a bit difficult. Saying that, you know, we've done all right against them away from home, if I remember. Matteson scored, and I think Gokeres got the winner. You know, and then at home, I think it was we had 10 men and won, didn't we? I think Godden scored last minute. Do you remember when he took his shirt off and
got? Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, we're down to 10 men in that game, weren't we?
Yeah, we did.
Leon Manning's the manager there now, by the way.
Leon Manning. Yeah. Okay, not too familiar with him.
So he was at Oxford.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, right. They did really well, and then
they've done all right, haven't they? Because they drew in the cup at the weekend as well, didn't they?
Yeah, that was against Forest, wasn't it? Yeah.
So yeah, they're
turned a corner in a way.
Yeah, they've helped. You know, they beat a Premier League side. They've held a Premier League side. They've got a few draws in there, but then they've lost to Preston. So yeah, you don't know what they're going to get with them, do you?
No, they are a bag of rebels for sure. Yeah. Scott Twine has recently joined them as well, which I think is a really, really good signing for them.
Is he from Hull?
Yes.
Why did Hull let him go?
No idea. Probably because they got Thingy from Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Carvalho?
Yeah, Carvalho, yeah. I've always rated Twine. I think he's decent.
Yeah, I thought he was one that we could potentially look at.
Yeah.
Him and
Jane Patterson again.
Yeah.
Hold on, mate.
We're 4 days away from the end of the transfer window.
Sorry.
We haven't seen
Jamie
Patterson.
Surprised that's not been mentioned yet. Yeah. Don't you know he supports the club?
He does.
Yeah.
He does, yeah. last time out against Bristol, we did lose 1-0 in October to a Rob Dickey goal on the stroke of half time. Yeah. Again, we played in the three at the back that day.
Oh, that was a crap game.
It was really, really poor. We didn't have many opportunities. We had a lot of possession, not many opportunities. Team for that day was Wilson, Thomas, Fads, Binks, Milan, Eccles, Sheaf, De Silva, Sim, Sakamoto, Godden. It wasn't a particularly great game from memory. So a chance to put that to bed. How would you expect to see us line up for this one, Andy?
I would like to obviously go to back four, Collins, Milan, and then I'd play obviously Kitchen and Thomas, Bidwell, left back, and I would play Sheaf, Eccles, O'Hare, and then I would play Sims, Palmer. I'd probably play Palmer, just because he might be a little bit fitter than Wright, and then I'd play Tats if he's in the country.
Yeah, I would probably go for the same. And you look at the bench there, then you've got options, haven't you, to really change the game in different ways. We can change formations, just as long as it's not far
looking
back.
Looking so much stronger, isn't it, the bench these days?
Yeah. And now you look at Torp, really settled into that game. Now a big option off the bench if we require. We got Wright there. You got Latabodier as well, who's played really, really well in the bit part features he has played over the last few weeks. So yeah, really exciting. And who knows, with the four new signings we'll make in the next 3 days, they'll also join the team. Robbins' little wry smile in the pre-match press conference.
Oh yeah, he likes winding climb.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a wind up. I don't know if it's
just
a.
Hates him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, it doesn't hate him.
I don't think he hates him, but I do think he plays him very, very well.
But it's just a wry smile when he says, oh, no, nothing's happening, Clive. And you kind of got the inkling that something is sort of occurring there.
Something is occurring. It's in the pipeline.
Something's happening. I think the old memes will come out with the sunglasses on Robinson's face once something gets signed this week.
Hope so. If we strengthen a little bit more, I'm all for it.
Prediction?
I think we'll win this 2-0.
Yeah, I fancy us as well. I think we'll just have a little bit too much for Bristol.
Yeah.
In this new formation at home, big crowd again.
Yeah.
I'm going, so it's exciting.
Under the lights.
Under lights. There's nothing better than a cold Tuesday night under the lights at the CBS.
Yeah, definitely.
The smell of kebabs in the air.
Yeah.
and hopefully not the regret walking out afterwards.
No.
Like Swansea last time I was there. Yeah, that was frustrating.
We can go into this full of confidence and get back to our four at the back and get back playing how we can.
Fingers crossed. I think we've got a chance to go fifth as well. I don't think West Brom play till Wednesday, so opportunity there to go fifth in the table.
All their pleasant fans.
Yeah, looked good today, didn't it? Yeah, nice one.
Lovely.
Well, that's a nice way to end things, Andy. Thanks for joining me, mate.
Mate, I really enjoyed it.
Nice one. Big thank you to the Sky Blue Army for listening, and a big thank you to the guys and girls at the Sky Blue Tavern for their continued support as well. Don't forget to keep an eye on all our socials. Just search at Sky Blues Extra and we'll be back in the week. So speak to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.